A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, July 17th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening, live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening,
we are angry and apprehensive that business closed without any announcement from the employer as to when the civil servants will be getting their pay.
The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe cries foul over failure by government to announce civil servants' pay dates for July.
I think the wheels have come off. The wheels have come off completely. ZANU has failed and failed dismally. They failed to deliver on the economy. They failed even to pay basic wages to civil servants.
The leader of the People's Democratic Party, PDP, Tendai Biti, blames government for the continued decline of the economy.
Prostate cancer is a cancer of males because the prostate gland is in males. The prostate cancer also occurs in people who are relatively old, from 50 years onwards. It doesn't mean it can't happen earlier.
Health experts urge men over 50 to go for prostate cancer screening early to avoid complications later.
What we did as the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee was to make sure that we put in place chief medical officer who is a qualified medical person, Dr. Austin Jeans, and we have also been liaising very, very closely with the Minister of Health and Childcare, as well as receiving updates from both the Rio Organizing Committee and the World Health Organization.
The Zimbabwe Olympic Committee says all its athletes have been receiving extensive awareness campaigns on the Zika virus to ensure their safety while in Rio in Brazil. And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe cries foul over failure by government to announce civil servants' pay dates for July. President of PTUZ, Takava Firajou, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri more on the issue.
We are angry and apprehensive that business closed without any announcement from the employer as to when the civil servants will be getting their pay. This is nauseating. This is arrogance of its worth. And when government officials have promised that they would honor up or announce by a particular date the pay date, we expect them to be responsible enough and announce the pay date, because these pay dates are important in terms of informing civil servants and assuring that they plan appropriately so how to spend their little paltry salary to the next day. But without that guidance or without knowing when they'll get their next pay day, I think it creates a lot of anxiety. It also creates a lot of despondence, a lot of confusion, and a lot of suffering also, because we're not able to plan properly our lives. We can only live a life of guesswork, and we don't expect this in an independent country 36 years after independence.
Are you going to take any action against this development?
Yes, if we get up to Monday without any announcement from the government, we simply go back to our members. We're a member-driven constituency, and we'll go back to our members. And what we get from our members is very clear, that when they worked in July, they expect to be paid in July. They don't expect to be paid in August for July's salary. And it will be unfortunate that if government officials wanted to urinate upon the civil servants, the civil servants will simply go on industrial action. They will simply be incapacitated, and they will not be able to report to work with effect from 1 August this year, because they expect to get the July salary in July. And we cannot continue to accept a situation of abnormality or to normalize abnormality where government cannot pay civil servants by the end of the month.
That was the president of PTUZ, Takava Firajou, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. The The leader of the People's Democratic Party, PDP, Tendai Biti, blames government for the continued decline of the economy. Efforts to get comment from the government were fruitless. Biti speaks to Studio 7's Juonga Kandemiri on the issue.
I think the wheels have come off. The wheels have come off completely. ZANU has failed and failed dismally. They failed to deliver on the economy. They failed even to pay basic wages to civil servants. July salaries will not be paid on time. There's no cash in the banks, and there is no millimeter of food has to be imported. They are passing fascist laws like Statutory Instrument 64 of 2016, where they are preventing ordinary Zimbabweans from going to import and feed their families. So the bottom line is that this government should resign and the National Transitional Authority takes place. But I'm very disappointed with the persecution of innocent Zimbabweans, including Pastor Ivan Mawarire, Linda Masarira, Promise Nkwananzi, and others. I'm very sad to note that they've brought charges of subversion and treason against Pastor Ivan Mawarire. I, in the past, have faced treason charges in 2008. Morgan Tsvangirai has, in the past, faced treason charges in 2004. So everyone who dares to speak out against this regime must face treason charges. That's not democracy. That's fascism. So I don't accept happening. This government, this fascist government, should let go and release Linda Masarira and others now, and should respect the right of people to demonstrate. But I want to say to Zimbabweans, now we are learning our lesson that we cannot outsource our struggle to a political party or an individual. Let us all be actors in this struggle. There is no Moses who is going to come from Canaan. As I said the other day, Moses is only found in the books of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. So we, all of us, have to be our own Moses. And I'm very glad that the people of Zimbabwe are rising.
That was the leader of the People's Democratic Party, PDP, Tendai Biti, speaking to Studio 7's Juonga Kandemiri. Health experts are urging men over 50 to go for prostate cancer screening early to avoid complications later.
My name is Dr. Joshua Sibanda. I'm a specialist physician and a gastroenterologist. I specialize in the intestines and the liver and diseases of the liver. Prostate cancer is a cancer of males because the prostate gland is in males. The prostate cancer also occurs in people who are relatively old, from 50 years onwards. It doesn't mean it can't happen earlier, but it's commonly when the prostate gland ages, it eventually develops some cancerous cells. Initially, it grows without cancer, which we call prostatic hypertrophy. And it increases the size of the prostate gland as a person ages. It increases to such an extent that it eventually presses on the urine pipe and blocks it so that a person cannot pass urine even if they have a full bladder. Those are the early signs of a prostate gland that has actually started enlarging that would need to be evaluated to exclude cancer. So those patients need to be evaluated and then managed if they've got prostate cancer. If they've got prostate cancer already and they're presenting with prostate cancer, usually they will present with a very enlarged prostate, which when a doctor examines, you would find the features of prostate cancer that include a very hard prostate that is nodular when the doctor examines. And there are certain tests that we do that help us to have an idea that person has got cells that are developing cancer that the doctors take from the blood. That include tests like prostatic specific antigen. They help screen for cancer and heighten the doctor's awareness that he should intervene. If the cancer has already established itself and is still within the gland, there is a possibility of cure again where a person gets the operation to remove that gland. But if the cancer has already spread, there are means to palliate the patient, that is to say, to just treat the patient to live longer despite the cancer being there.
That was Dr. Joshua Sibanda in South Africa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. And today, it's a special kind of day. I have two young Zimbabweans on the line with me. First person with me today is Yeukai Mudzi, and she's an international development professional based here in Washington, D.C. And I also have Tinashe Mukogo on the line in Kenya, but he's a professional currently pursuing his MBA in France. Yeukai and Tinashe, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
And I'll start off with you, Yeukai, ladies first, and, you know, you're local. So, Yeukai, give us a little bit, just a quick background about yourself.
Sounds good. Well, yes, I'm based in Washington, D.C. I'm doing strategic advisory work here for an international development organization. And I was born and bred in Zimbabwe. And I've traveled a bit, but, you know, I have a passion for my country. And, you know, my name is actually... It was my father wanted my name to be Yeukai Jemuhondo, so, and my mom, of course, pushed and asked it to be shortened just to Yeukai. So I've got a passion for Zimbabwe in terms of just remembering what was fought for and what really we want for governance. So it's interesting to me to observe what's going on now and stop and, you know, ask myself, what's my responsibility at this point?
Thanks, Yeukai. And Tinashe, give us a little bit about yourself.
Well, so I've also been born and bred in Zimbabwe, and after high school, I actually stayed and worked for Deloitte for about 9 years. And I think seeing the whole evolution of Zimbabwe through that period from hyperinflation to dollarization to a seemingly a period of growth to sort of like a recession again, I think those highs and lows kind of helped just ignited my passion for Zimbabwe and I guess Africa overall. So I thought that in order to make an impact, one of the things I needed to do was to spend some time studying abroad and then hopefully come back to Africa and Zimbabwe later on as well to then try to contribute. So essentially my passion is trying to find ways to build Zimbabwe and also build the rest of Africa as well, because I feel that a lot of the problems that we have are very comparable across the continent.
Now let's talk about what's happening in Zimbabwe. Yeukai, tell me how you perceive these movements as a young Zimbabwean.
I mean, we grew up knowing that you don't speak out about things that you see as being wrong, perhaps at a governmental level. That was just not something you did. So observing now, you know, and, you know, you have people having conversations where they complain, but they complain in secret. But getting to a point where people are standing up and saying, you know, this is not just about politics. This is about people's livelihoods. And so as I observe that, it's very encouraging to see people coming together and saying enough is enough and saying we, at this point, we can't keep silent. We can't keep living in fear. And just stopping and saying, what are we doing for the next generation? The previous generation pushed for us to have political independence. But the type of political independence they fought for and the type of governance we're seeing today doesn't align with, you know, what was fought for. So seeing people just standing up and saying, you know, let's rethink and say, where should our country be? It's very encouraging. So it makes me happy and stop and think, what is my role?
Tinashe, if you can chime in there.
I think what's really been inspiring and where I think young people play a role is that historically we've kind of looked to the political elites or those who are much older to effect change in our country. But then what's happening now is it's no longer necessarily people who are, you know, 40, 50 years older than us who are bringing the change. It's literally the citizens, the young people, the people who are on the ground and are getting impacted by the challenges that are there, who are now pushing for the agenda for national development. So I think young people have a massive role because, for most African countries, the median age is about 22 years of age. And so basically most of the people in all of these countries and in Zimbabwe are young people.
One of the things that I've been really thinking about through what's been going on these past couple of weeks, is the role of the diaspora. How can we really assist with some of these movements for those who want to?
So, for one, I mean, I'm looking at how these movements have started, and it's been social media. It's been technology. The times are different. We're not in a time where it's just newspapers or things like that. There's that idea of you can leverage another platform. So, for example, for us, I mean, I can't say everyone, but for me as a diaspora person, I stopped, and what both Tinashe and I kind of stopped with this project that we're doing called Reconstitute. And we stopped and we thought, how can we contribute? How can we leverage technology to somehow encourage what's going on at home and also stand up and add our voices? And we thought the Constitution is a powerful tool for citizens to hold the government accountable. And we thought, wait, we don't know the Constitution.
That was Yeokai Mudzi and Tinashe Mukogo, both founders of Reconstitute Project, joining me today on the Youth Forum. Make sure you join us next week as we continue our discussion with Yeokai and Tinashe as they talk more about their project, Reconstitute Project.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. And in sports news, we hear from the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee on how they're handling the Zika virus threat, which has seen other athletes from other countries pulling out of the Rio 26 Olympics in Brazil.
My name is Titus Itai Sobuya, and I am the chef de mission for Team Zimbabwe, Rio 2016 Olympics, where I will be the head of delegation and in charge of the whole team that will be representing Zimbabwe at the Rio Olympics in 2016. Not from an athlete point of view, but I'm sure you will appreciate that this was an area that received much attention globally. What we did as the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee was to make sure that we put in place the chief medical officer, who is a qualified medical person, Dr. Austin Jeans, and we have also been liaising very, very closely with the Minister of Health and Child Care, as well as receiving updates from both the Rio Organizing Committee and the World Health Organization in terms of how we can arrest this situation. Yes, at some point it was an area that gave us quite some anxieties, but I must say, I'm happy to say, given what we have done and what we have received, I'm sure the Rio have done quite a lot in terms of making sure that this particular area is attended to. We also have put in place measures through the Minister of Health and Child Care and our Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Austin Jeans, coming up with an education program for all our athletes and officials. And on a weekly basis, we have been meeting with the management team from all the affected associations to make sure that they receive an update in terms of how we can particular area. But I must say, it's an area that at some point did give us some anxieties, obviously, given the fact that we are an athlete-centered organization, and the welfare of the athlete is very, very paramount. As of now, I'm happy to report that we do not have an athlete who has withdrawn because of the Zika virus, because I'm happy to say that we are actually on top of the situation as far as this virus is concerned, as the Team Zimbabwe is also concerned. We will also put in place measures to make sure that there is a medical kit available as they leave Zimbabwe, all the athletes and officials, and also a pamphlet to educate and address certain questions and make sure that the information is readily available to all our athletes as well as all our officials.
That was Titus Jomuya, leader of Team Zimbabwe to the Rio 2016 Olympics. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, July the 17th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.